Welcome to the online ministry of Faith Christian Fellowship. FCF is a dynamic word and spirit-empowered church where faith and family meet. If you would like more information about our church or other media resources, please visit us at faithchristianfellowship.com. We hope you enjoy this message.
Obedience always comes with opposition. And I didn't expect to go here, but I'm going to go here for a second. And as I crossed the West Virginia line, and we got hammered. And I was telling Pastor Paul in the office there as we were talking. I said, Lord, I'm giving you your word back. Your word does not return void. You are Jehovah Jireh. You are our provider. And so that's the power of prayer, and it's the power of perspective. And we have to keep that perspective. We are warriors. You know, I've been studying all week, and I expected to go a different direction tonight. But we are priests and kings. We are a kingdom of priests and kings. Amen. And so sometimes that's hard for me to really grasp. So I've been asking the questions the past couple weeks, Lord, what does priestly service look like? What does kingly service look like? What does that look like as a servant? And so, Jonathan, that word was for me, by the way. Yeah, thank you. And Jack, I love when I look in people's eyes and I could just see the Lord moving in someone. Like when Pastor Paul speaks, I see this fire in his eyes, man. And when Jack, I saw such compassion when Jack was sharing. And it's beautiful to see the Holy Spirit moving in people, you know. So tonight, we're going to share about prayer. I don't know what's going to come out. We'll see what happens. But I want to talk a little bit about personal prayer, corporate prayer, and then praying for the leaders in our lives as well, okay? Something I've noticed in the past few years of connecting with different leaders in the area and the communities, is they get hammered. And so being able to watch and view and being able to make sure that I'm praying for the people that I'm connected with. And so that's meant a lot to me, because there's a lot of people that have invested in me, and to be able to invest in them in spiritual service. You know, the word says, I beseech you, brothers, therefore, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your spiritual worship or reasonable service. Okay? So there's a term called latreo in the Greek, and that is a priestly service. Okay? So prayer, intercession, and praise. And, you know, also this week I've been studying. I don't want to go here too far, but Samuel, it says in 1 Samuel chapter 3, it says that Samuel was ministering to the Lord in front of Eli. Now, I've always hated that term, ministering to the Lord, to be honest with you, because I look at that and I'm like, man, that sounds so arrogant, okay? But then as this was revealed to me in the Word, I started to realize that this was service to the Lord in worship, okay? And so as that opened up to me, it started to help me understand the importance in our private devotion life. We enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. And so as we minister to the Lord, his presence opens up, and then we're able to crack down in prayer, you know. And I've heard it said before, what'd you say? In our prayer life always sharpens the edge of the axe. And Pastor Paul has said, what's the edge? So he who dwells in the secret place, Psalm 91, he who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty, shall abide, to rest, to remain, to lodge there. Okay, there is protection in the wings. There is protection in his pinions, under his pinions. And so, what does the secret place really look like? You know, we were talking earlier, and the secret place is the inner place. Okay? Now, I want to say this. We're going to go to Matthew 6 to start out. Matthew chapter 6. So the secret place is the innermost place, right? But there is something to setting aside time. And there's training there. So we're going to get into, we're going to talk about Gethsemane here in a minute. Jesus in Gethsemane in Matthew 26. But he was training his disciples. Okay, there was Judas and the soldiers were on the way. He knew it. But there was training in what he was doing. The secret place is for training, okay? And a lot of times, my personal belief is I believe he trains us behind closed doors, and he will train our senses behind closed doors to navigate with him in life, okay? And so what happens here bleeds out to every area of our life. If there is the fruit of self-control in operation, to stay there. And that's most of the time, it's the hardest thing in the distractions of the world around us to be in that place, to make a home there, to really make room for him. That's the term, is making room for him in the busyness of our lives around us, which is challenging. But this goes back to our first love, okay? What are we going to make a priority when we realize that miracles happen from that place? When we realize that people do need our prayers. It's partnering with him in the world around us. And we have to partner with him in the world around us. That's why we're here. We're here for relationship. We're here for worship. But we're also here on earth as it is in heaven. Okay? So, and when you pray, you must not be like the hypocrites. For they love to stand and pray in the synagogues and in the street corners, that they may be seen by others. Wrong motives, right? Hypocrites, wrong motives. Okay, so truly I say to you, they have received the reward. But when you pray, go into your room, shut the door, and pray to your Father who is in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you. Okay? And when you pray, do not heap up empty phrases as the Gentiles do, for they think that they will be heard for their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him. Pray then like this. Okay, we all know this, but I'm going to say it. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Holy is your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. And I'll add, for thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. This is how you should pray. Okay? So a lot of times, I'll add this. When I personally pray, I like to add pieces of that into the prayer. Because there's power in the word. There's power in praying the word. Okay? So it's not only speaking the word, but there's power in praying the word of God. Praying the word of God over the situations we face daily. Okay? So, let's go to Matthew 26, 36 through 46. I'm going to give you a couple little nuggets here to start out. I love this. This hit me like 4 or 5 years ago. And it blasted me in the face. The anointing comes from the secret place. If we want the anointing to operate in our lives, sometimes it takes crushing, and we know that, okay? Jesus had been through great crushing, rejection, persecution, okay? But his place of safety was in the secret place. It was in the Garden of Gethsemane. Gethsemane literally means oil press. Okay, that's the place where the oil was produced for the priest. Okay, but it was the place where they crushed the olives as well. Okay, and so the garden experience there is for us as well. That doesn't make for an easy life. Sometimes there is sufferings, but there's a promise that is produced in that of the anointing of God. Okay. So Gethsemane means oil press, and Mount of Olives means Mount of Anointment. There is another name, Mount of Anointment, for the Mount of Olives. Okay? Now, this understanding, it took me somewhere in Revelation. And so that this place, for me, this story of Gethsemane has always been so powerful to me. Okay? And so Jesus prays in Gethsemane. Let's go to Matthew 26, 36. Then Jesus went with them to a place called Gethsemane, and he said to his disciples, "Sit here while I go over there and pray." And taking with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee, that would be James, Peter, James, and John, he began to be sorrowful and troubled. Then he said to them, "My soul is very sorrowful, even to death. Remain here and watch. Watch with me. Watch." And going a little farther, he fell on his face and prayed, saying, "My Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as you will." Have you all ever thought about this if you're going through a hard time in your life? "Father, let this cup pass from me." But you know that what you're walking through, there's purpose behind what you're walking through. Okay? We can relate to this, and we can take this and write it on our hearts and remember what Jesus went through in the garden for us. Amen. Sweating drops of blood. I've heard it said before that there's scholars that believe that that the sin of humanity started to fall on Jesus in the garden. And what's the medical term? Hematidrosis. Hematidrosis started in the garden. So, and he came to his disciples and he found them sleeping. "Father, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done." And he came to his disciples and found them sleeping. And he said to Peter, "So could you not watch with me 1 hour?" That's for us too, okay? That's for us too. You think about what we spend 1 hour on in our lives. 1 hour. What if we would spend 1 hour a day with the Lord? That's even splitting it up. I mean, the word says pray without ceasing, right? So we pray without ceasing. There's an internal dialogue that takes place all the time. But the word of God says pray without ceasing. But there is something to that place with him and creating that space with him. And the next thing you know, the anointing is the power of the Holy Spirit is waiting in those rooms for you. I call them holy hubs, okay? And the next thing you know, you start talking to the Lord there, and the power of the Holy Spirit starts to manifest in there. And that's available for all of us if we will make that space. Amen. "So could you not watch with me 1 hour? Watch and pray that you may not enter into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak." And again, for the second time, he went away and prayed, "My Father, if this cannot pass unless I drink it, your will be done." And again he came and found them sleeping again, for their eyes were heavy. So leaving them again, he went away and prayed for the third time, saying the same words again. Then he came to the disciples and said to them, "Sleep and take your rest later. The hour is at hand. And the Son of Man is betrayed into the hands of sinners. Rise, let us be going. See, my betrayer is at hand." Okay? So, Gethsemane means oil press. The Mount of Olives means Mount of Anointment. Okay? That should mean a lot for us as believers. I mean, the Lord sent us the Holy Spirit. Okay? And for the Holy Spirit to be in operation in our lives is so important. Not just internally, but externally as well. Okay, that's available for us. As we were worshiping today, we could sense the power of the Holy Spirit. I didn't even want to come up here. I just wanted to sit and just enjoy the presence of God. You know? So, So when we are not willing to watch and pray, I put this down because I thought about as Peter cut the ears off of people. Think about the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. When we are not willing to watch and pray, lest ye enter into temptation. And I thought about this, but if Peter would have been alert, watching and praying, he would have not cut the ear off him. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. And so when we are not willing to watch and pray, we cut ears off people. Think about how nasty we can be when we're not willing to watch and pray. Think about the nature that comes out of us. The flesh comes out, okay? So the anointing will flow from spending time in our Gethsemane. Okay? So quickly I want to talk about let's go to Acts chapter 12. And quickly I want to talk about the power of a praying church, the corporate prayer. Okay? And we just sat and prayed for Andy. Okay? We're believing for Andy. We're stepping into the believing for Andy that her body would be healed, that what's taking place would exit, and she would be well, behold, be healed in the name of Jesus. Okay? Now, there's power in a praying church. Okay? And I'm probably going to paraphrase some of this as to bypass some of the story. I love stories. I love to read the stories and just things be highlighted out of the stories. Okay? And so, Acts chapter 12. So, James and Peter were arrested. James was beheaded. Okay? And there was a church that was praying for Peter. They were interceding for Peter. Okay? And so, I'm going to start here at verse 5. So, Peter was kept in prison. But earnest prayer, the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Earnest, fervent, same word here, okay, in the Greek. I believe it's ektinos. Ektinos is the word. Prayer for him was made to God by the church. Okay? So Peter's locked up. He's in shackles. And these people are praying for Peter, okay? The angel busts in, breaks the shackles, okay, and has an exit strategy. We got an angel MacGyver here, and so he kicks him in the side or pokes him, gets him up, and then they bust out, and he thinks he's in a trance. So he's out in the middle of the street, and he's like, how did I get here? The angel bolts. And he finds himself at the same place that of the people that were praying for him. He found his way there. And this little girl's like, Peter's at the door. And they're like, no way, you got to be kidding me. And they thought they saw a ghost. And so, but these people, they earnestly prayed for him. This word means stretched out, okay? They cried out for him. It wasn't just, hey, I'm going to pray for a couple minutes. It was, we're crying out for Peter, for his deliverance. James just was killed, and Peter's probably next. It's probably safe to say, right? And so it was because of them being stretched out in earnest, fervent prayer that deliverance took place in the situation that Peter was in. Okay, we can learn from this. Okay, it's the power of a praying church. Last year we were doing Give Him 15, right? And 15 minutes of prayer, all right? We're praying over the same specific things, all right? Believing for the church. We saw movement around that time, didn't we? And there's power in unison. And the great thing is our vines, you know, He is the vine, we are the branches. Our branches are connected. So it doesn't matter if I'm clear in St. Albans and people are back here in Buffalo. Our branches are connected in the body of Christ, okay? So if I'm sitting in my living room And I'm praying over the same thing someone else is. We are believing together for those things. Okay? All right. All right, so quickly I want to talk about praying for leadership and the power of praying for leadership. Let's look at 1 Timothy 1 through 4. First of all, then, I urge you that supplications, that requests, pleadings, prayer, intercessions, and thanksgiving be made for all people, for kings and all who are in high positions, that we may lead a peaceful and quiet life, godly and dignified in every way. All right? So peace comes when we pray for leaderships in positions. I mean, that's what I just read there. For kings and all who are in high positions that may lead, that we may lead a peaceful and quiet life. So, there's a responsibility for us as people that are prayer warriors to pray for the boss that we don't like very much at work. Or somebody that is, I love my boss. I wasn't going there, okay? But I'm saying, when we're having friction with people, or, I mean, that's what we're supposed to do, is pray for our enemies, pray for the people we love as well, right? We should pray for all people, okay? And I've seen this year, I'm telling you, I've seen in the past few years, especially pastors, I have conversations with pastors all the time. And what they go through, and they don't have people to talk to a lot of times. I talk to men at the mission all the time, and they come and they will download on me. And the thing is, I've learned, I'm like, why are they talking? And then I started to realize it's the gift. And so I started embracing people and learning to just listen. There's a whole ministry in listening to people and actually hearing what they have to say. There is ministry in that, okay? So this is good, and it is pleasing in the sight of God our Savior, who desires all people to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. Okay? So, I want to go to Exodus 17, and this is where I'll end here. Okay? But this is the story of the battle of Amalek, and I absolutely love this story. There's such deep meaning in this story. And the children of Israel are at a place called Rephidim. And we've been talking about rest, but in the Hebrew, Rephidim means rest, okay? Amalek means dweller in the valley. And so you look at this from the perspective of spiritual warfare, okay? Dweller in the valley. You ever had a dweller in the valley? You ever feel like your prayers are hitting brick walls? Okay? You got to break through in prayer. This means you pray until you're completely clear and what is holding you down is lifted. Okay? You pray until you break through. Okay? This is so important. So all of you that feel heavy on occasion, what is going on with me? It's a call to the prayer closet. It's a call to internal search to say, Lord, what are you dealing with me about right now? Okay? Now, what I'm telling is so important because some people will stay heavy for days and not know what's going on, and you've got to break through in prayer. Okay? And sometimes that takes time. Okay? But it's part of the call, and it's part of our responsibility. And it's the way we see great moves of God happen. Okay? All right. So, this is so cool. But they fought the dweller in the valley at a place of rest. They fought the dweller in the valley at a place of rest. And as they stayed in position, the spiritual battle was won. Okay? So, I'm going to start reading in this here. Okay? Exodus 17. All the congregation of the people of Israel moved on. Let's start at 8. I apologize. 17:8. Then Amalek came and fought with Israel at Rephidim. So Moses said to Joshua, choose for us men and go out and fight with Amalek. Okay? So once again, they're fighting. They fought with Israel at Rephidim, at a place of rest. They chose men to fight against Amalek, the dweller in the valley. Tomorrow I will stand on the top of the hill with the staff of God in my hand. So Joshua did as Moses told him and fought with Amalek. While Moses and Aaron and Hur went up to the top of the hill, whenever Moses held up his hand, Israel prevailed. And whenever he lowered his hand, Amalek prevailed. So Moses has a staff. He's holding it up. And he's trying to keep it up. And every time that he keeps his staff stretched out, think about the term we just talked about a minute ago, ektenos, fervent, stretched out. As he stretched out his staff, they prevailed. When they dropped, okay, so Aaron and Hur came around both sides and helped hold up the staff, and they won the battle, okay? Many times leadership around us, if they don't have people praying for them, if they don't have people lifting them up, then we've got to pray not only for our pastor, we've got to pray for his wife, we've got to pray for leadership here, we've got to pray for the church. We've got to pray for other leaders that are around us as well. If we want to see thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven, it's a responsibility to pray. So, Father, I thank you. Lord, I pray that this word gets in our heart. Lord, I pray that something registers with each person in here, God. Lord, I pray that you would strengthen us and help us, God. Lord, speak to us, God, in the name of Jesus. Lord, show us in each sphere we're in, Lord, whether it's the job, place, home. Lord, you always want to do something. I pray that you would help us to be internally aware. In the name of Jesus, amen. Thank you.
Good job, man. That's a good word. That's a good word, man. I know that, and Joe and Julia's been around for a while, but I remember when Joe walked through the doors here. I'll never forget it. Never forget it. And he walked through the doors, was at the rock, and he looked like he was death warmed over. Seriously, he really did. And God has really moved in Joe's life. And I'm very thankful for Joe. I know he prays for me, and that guy loves Jesus for sure. And it's seen. And he's a testimony of what God can do in somebody's life. That's truth. What God can do and how he can raise somebody up, right? You never know. You never know, guys. And I know that there's no rock people in here today. But there's guys that sit on that right-hand side over there. That could be your next Billy Graham. God will take the foolish things of this world to confound the wise. And I know, listen, we do such a good job here. We are such a loving community of people. These guys don't feel like any different when they come here. If it is, it's their own perceptions, right? They're working through. But I love to always hear them, you know, what they say. But, you know, how they come in here reluctantly. And by the time they're done, they're saying, man, I really love this place. But I say not to say this. You just never know, right? And I know Joe's had a lot in him, his mom, Pam, and his dad, and just the over the years, and bringing him up in the house of the Lord. And the enemy tried to take him out, but he couldn't. And whether that was with cancer and then with the addiction, but Joe's not an addict anymore. He's a son. He's a child, a son, amen. And thankful, man. You've done a great job. You really, really did. Did you guys enjoy it tonight? Come on, let's give one more. We appreciate it, man. We'll work on it. He's not as windy as what I am. Let's just stand to your feet. Let's pray. Amen. Amen. Personal. So Rephidim means rest. So the battle is in rest. It's always the fight is not to fight. The fight is not to fight. Right? The fight is for us to not fight. To put the Rubik's Cube into the hands of the Lord and let Him figure it out. Amen. Aren't you glad you got a connection tonight? Aren't you glad that you can go to the throne of grace boldly? Amen. You can. You have access. All access pass. You have all access pass to the Lord. 24/7, 365. The creator of all the earth is your Father. And we got, I'm telling you something, we have got we are a people here in this church. We know how to pray. Amen. We know how to pray. So let's pray real quick here. So, Father, in the name of Jesus, thank you so much again for this day. Thank you, Lord God, for your hand, Lord God, being on us, Lord God, that you've anointed us, Lord God. I thank you, Father God, for that you have anointed us, Lord God. You've given us, Lord. It's Christ and His anointing. Jesus Christ, Jesus and His anointing. So, Lord God, I thank you right now for all that you're doing. I thank you, Lord God. We stand in a place, Lord God, of agreement tonight, Lord God, and believe that you're moving in all of our lives, Father. We thank you, Lord God, tonight, Lord God, that people are leaving out here encouraged, Father, encouraged by you, encouraged by the word, encouraged about what you're doing. I thank you, Lord God, for that in the name of Jesus. So, right now, Lord, I bless these people as they go. I thank you, Lord God, there's prayer warriors in this house. I thank you, Lord God, that we pray, Lord God. We pray, Lord God. We're not waiting to pray. We're not going to, Lord, tomorrow when people are saying, man, something's going on, would you pray for me? Lord, I thank you. We will pray, Lord, because we know who we are in Christ. So, Lord, we thank you for the opportunity we have to pray together as a body, Lord God, each and every time. We know there's power in the corporate anointing. So, Father, I bless these people tonight as they go, and we give you the praise. In the name of Jesus, we give you glory. Amen. Amen. God bless you guys. Thank you so much for.
Thank you for listening to this message. For more information, please visit us at faithchristianfellowship.com.